No, voice.
Oh, look at that. As soon as I hear you. Okay. Yeah, I'm grabbing you. How do I answer? There. Okay.
Didn't know what you're doing? Hello?
The right screen wasn't showing.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's great. It going, man? Here, I'm going to...
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. I'm going to make sure you can see us both here.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my Yoda shirt in honor of you. It's my Buddha.
Oh, are you? Oh, cool.
My Buddha Yoda shirt.
Yoda and Punisher.
Are you wearing Punisher?
Oh,
no.
It's my junior Punisher. This is actually Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm sorry. I can only see the very top of the skull. I apologize.
That is... You know, Punisher is cooler, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Let's pretend it was Punisher.
No, I prefer Jack Skellington to Punisher.
Okay.
I was a Punisher fan. He was too violent. He was just... that was his solution to every problem, was just to shoot somebody.
That's true.
You prefer Yoda, much more peaceful,
cerebral.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yoda totally fits in with my thing.
Just before we got on this call, we checked the updates for the voting for your next book.
We're very concerned about Han Solo.
And Chewbacca. Darth Vader's winning.
It's the leading candidate right here.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Oh,
we were wondering if you had... Okay.
We're going to want it to get some photos of your origami, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good.
You want one right now?
Here, yeah, hold that up there.
Oops, my finger
that's not it.
Here, so.
That's not it either. Okay, there we go. All right.
Well, James is our technical guru, so...
Yeah, I'm the technical guru, which leads to all sorts of humor. Got it.
But I have to know, because my favorite character of all time is Chewbacca. So do you have a Chewbacca origami?
I don't. I've been beaten down by it. Because what I want is, I want it to be paper that's brown on one side and black on the other side. And I want that bandolier to be the black paper. I want there to be a diagonal gap in the brown paper to show the black underneath.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And man, once you start folding like that, it's so hard to get, you know, to get it the rest of the Wookiee.
Right.
Know? So I've not accomplished that.
So are you on the website actually purposely promoting Darth Vader to win the voting so you don't have to deal with that problem?
Well, see, here's the thing. If you read carefully, the poll doesn't promise that the winner will be the star of the next book.
No, I know.
And so... the truth is, the book is written, you know, it's done, and, you know, all I can do is hope that the winner of the poll is the same as the character in the book, otherwise there'll be a lot of explaining to do,
That's true.
So, are you basically announcing a bit of a spoiler? Do we have to cut this out?
No, I'm not announcing anything, because, you know, I also have R2-D2 and C-3PO here.
Oh, cool,
okay, hold on.
They were really good in the write-in votes.
All right,
Trying to get them in the light better there.
Yeah, keep those up for a minute.
We've almost got it.
Because I love the metallic.
Trying to get the glare off of C-3PO.
Yeah. Oh, right there. Perfect. C-3PO over a little bit this way. Yeah, right there. Got it.
All right.
Admiral,
you want a spoiler? I'll tell you something.
Okay, cool.
Admiral Akbar has been fighting for second place.
Yep.
I'll promise you right here today, Admiral Akbar, even if he loses, will still be in the book.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so...
Now, he's a pretty...
Admiral Akbar. And so even if other people don't, I'm putting him in the book for me, for my benefit.
You should. And I was just going to say, you're clearly... I first got this book, a friend of mine had found it at a book fair, so I actually have an ARC of it, to be honest.
Oh, okay,
so,
that's all right.
And but I read it, and James and I both teach creative writing in addition to being authors ourselves. So as soon as I read this book, I'm like, okay, this is the perfect book for me to teach to my kids, because for the boys, it's the Star Wars angle, and for the girls, you know, you've got a bit of romance in the middle school life. So it's been doing really well with the kids I've been sharing it with.
Awesome.
But I knew right away that you were a Star Wars fan because it was Ralph McQuarrie Middle School, and seemed such an obscure... detail, because Ralph McQuarrie did all the concept art for the original Star Wars.
Wow, I did not know that.
And I've actually met Ralph McQuarrie once long ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, long, long ago in a galaxy far away. And at a Star Wars convention. And Yeah, he was such a great, interesting person, and it was at this convention, and he wasn't getting a lot of attention from, like, because there was, like, the actors were there, like Anthony Daniels and whatnot. So I actually had a moment to talk to him, and he was really good at explaining and telling stories about him and talking to George Lucas, and it was just really fascinating. So as soon as I opened your book and I saw Ralph McQuarrie Middle School, I'm like, okay, this guy actually
knows
what he's talking about. And then the whole fact that you had Admiral Akbar even on the voting, I'm like, okay, that's a pretty obscure character in the grand scheme of things. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I'd like to tell people that, I mean, my love of Star Wars is true, pure and true, you know. I didn't, like, sit down and think, you know, what's a hot property that I could sell, and, you know, Pokemon was taken, so I went to Star Wars. It wasn't like that at all. I mean, this genuinely grew out of my lifelong love of Star Wars and my lifelong frustrations of trying to fold origami, you know, things together. Because, you know, it's because I can't fold origami very well that the book happened. Because if I was good at origami, the book never would have happened.
Really?
Because, I saw this origami Yoda made by this Japanese origami master. And his name is Kawahata. If you look up Kawahata Yoda on the internet, you'll see this thing. It's gorgeous. It's amazing. And he had instructions online and everything. But, you know, one look at it, and I can tell I'm not going to be able to do it.
Right.
So, at that time, I've been folding a few things, and I thought, well, maybe I could fold a Yoda, but it would be a real simple one. So by the time I was done with this thing, you know, I had to draw a face on it to even make it look anything like Yoda. But it had two big ears, and it fit on your finger. And so, you know, that's how the book came about, because the one that I made just happened to go on your finger. If for any reason it had folded in a way that didn't go on your finger, I never would have thought of the book. It was just like, once you put it on your finger, you just can't help but, you know, you can't but help but say, may the force be with you, always. I mean, you just can't stop them. So it was like, well, what would a kid do with that? And then the book just wrote itself out.
Yeah, and I can tell you, my students, we've been studying this book quite a bit, and I always have a little study guide that I've developed to go with it. And one of the bonus question is, you know, for bonus points, make your own origami Yoda. So, of course, they all do, like, without fail. And I have to confess, I've never even tried to make it because I'm not mechanically inclined at all. Like, if I try to make origami Yoda, I'll probably start my house on fire. So, I've been delighted. Like, some of the origami Yodas that I've been seeing, some of them have little pen lightsabers. One made a little cane the other day that was completely, it was, like, I don't know how he did it. It was, like, out of twisted paper. It looked really, like, it was really a gnarled little staff, and it looked so awesome. So, I mean, it's such a great way for kids to connect with the book. And even the girls, like, some of my girls have never even heard of Star Wars. I mean, they've heard of it, but they've never seen it. And Yoda is like a mystery to them, but they can't help but making this little puppet because it's such a great idea.
I appreciate that. And, you know, it's amazing to me. You know, my first book was about sewage. I don't know if you guys have seen my first book.
No.
It's all about sewage. And so you go to a school for a school visit, and you're like, okay, first I've got to explain how, like, a sewage treatment plant works, you know, and then I've got to explain all this stuff. And, you know, there's very hard to make a, you know, to get that going. Whereas with Origami Yoda, you just show up, and you're like, it's Origami, it's Yoda. And then we've, you know, I've got this simple, I don't know if you've ever seen this one, this is the simple Yoda. You can fold it in just 5 steps. So, you know, I can do like a whole gymnasium full of kids and teach them all how to fold this simple Yoda at one time. I mean, compare that to like standing up in front of this gymnasium trying to explain like the sewage treatment process to a bunch of kids. It's a huge difference. It's just made a huge difference. It's this incredible way to connect with kids. And I just love it. It's been so much fun.
Where did this love of origami come from then?
Interest? It's not even exactly love. In many ways, I've battled with it my whole life. I was never any good at it. And that book that I was talking about, Quick Pick, it also has a chapter in it called The Great Origami Pegasus Disaster. And it's really about how hard it is to follow the instructions in these books. And so it's about these two guys, and they're, you know, this is how I was in school. You're competitive. You're not competitive with, like, the athletes. You're competitive with the other nerds, you know. And you're all trying to, like, you know, beat each other to be like king of the nerd hill. So another guy, we were competing over, you know, who could fold origami stuff. And so I changed that a little bit to make it in this story. And the two kids are battling to see who can fold this impossible origami Pegasus out of a book. And the narrator of the book puts his in, and I've actually just put this thing on my scanner and scanned it in, and they put it in the book, and it's just this misshapen lump, you know. And because that's how Origami Pegasus always works out. You know, nobody can do Origami Pegasus, except, of course, for the other kid. And he folds a perfect one and gives it to the girl who hangs it in her locker. And that's why it's the great Origami Pegasus disaster.
Yeah. I've been a nerd for a long time, and I didn't know there was a hill.
Oh, the Nerd Hill?
Yeah.
You're not on top of the Nerd Hill?
We're climbing.
Kind of, I'd say we're in the middle near the top.
Yeah. Definitely in our circle at home here.
We're at the top.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy to keep us there and not get any...
Yeah. I have to admit that every single interview with an author we've done, we've tried to talk Star Wars with them.
Uh-huh.
This is the first interview where we've actually had somebody else talking back with us about Star Wars. We were very excited.
So you guys are big Star Wars people. Have you been to Celebration?
I haven't been to a Celebration, but I have been to a Star Wars convention once upon a time. And did you ever see that movie? What was that movie called?
Fanboys.
Have you seen Fanboys?
I have not seen Fanboys. I'm very interested in that.
It's a movie about these guys that all jump in their van or car or whatever, and they drive to see George Lucas. Well, when I was maybe 22, 23, my buddy and I did that. We drove from Vancouver, British Columbia, all the way down to San Francisco to try and find George Lucas's house.
Wow.
So, you know, that's taking nerddom to a pretty significant height.
Yeah. And while I've never done that, I do have, which I have to show you, Tom.
Oh, he proudly got this out for you.
The Lego Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah! I love it.
It's
awesome. That's beautiful.
I was going
to... I could have had my whole Star Wars collection down here for you guys to, you know, to have in the background. I apologize I didn't have it.
That's okay. We could be doing that for hours showing. Yeah. I forgot. I'm at James's house right now. I was going to bring from home. I have a giant Yoda Pez dispenser.
Who got you the giant
And James got me the giant Yoda Pez dispenser, so I was going to bring it. It sings Star Wars whenever you take a Pez out of it. So,
And it's giant. It's like,
yeah.
You know, if you sort of see that, this big.
I'm actually having my annual Christmas party next weekend, but I don't call it my Christmas party. I call it Yoda Yule Fest.
Nice.
And I have all my various little Santa Yodas around the house because I've got a few of them. So,
really? Wow.
Yeah, people start getting... Once you know,
we're at the top of Nerd Hill now, aren't we?
Yeah. We're getting higher. Well, when people realize you have a love for a certain thing, they tend to nurture it. So I tend to get a lot of Christmas Yoda stuff, Yoda stuff at Christmas.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Chewbacca is my all-time favorite character, but there's more Yoda. I love Yoda, don't get me wrong. There's more Yoda stuff.
But the problem with making a book about Origami Chewbacca would be that he really only has, like, one line.
Yeah.
He has one thing to say. It would be really hard to make a whole plot around that.
True. That's true, but he could rip the paper limbs off the other origamis.
I've always thought of Chewbacca as sort of the space version of Lassie.
He's smart. I don't know if I'm offended or impressed with
Lassie was an awesome dog. And basically, you know, you look at Chewbacca and you're like, you know what?
Chewbacca has a...
Hands in the well.
When I was a kid, the thing that sold me in Chewbacca was that cool laser gun with the bow thing on it. Like he had
the crossbow laser gun.
Yeah, like that was the most... I mean, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
So...
Yes, I love it. Oh, hold on a second. My computer's overheating. I gotta turn the fan on.
Oh, okay.
You have a PC, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I thought I saw smoke coming up from the back room.
It happens. So, since you guys are that into it, I'll get this. Let me show you something. This is, I don't know how interested you'll be in this.
Oh, we will be.
Very, trust me.
This is, see that there? This is the actual Origami Yoda from the cover.
Oh, okay, hold that up.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
cool.
Very interested in this.
You'll notice that he's not green, and his lightsaber does not glow.
Yeah. Did you make that one?
I made this one, and the thing is, you know, I wasn't paying any attention when I made it. You know, I was just making it. And I have no idea how to make another one. I've tried. I can't figure out how it works. I've tried sort of picking it open a little bit to try to see how the paper is inside. And I'm like, what if I pull it open too far? I can't get it back together. So I've given up. It's just I keep it in a frame so that nothing happens to it in case we ever need it for another cover or something.
I think that's really cool because it's a one-off.
Yeah, you know? I kind of like that too. Yeah.
And Yoda is really much a one. I mean, such a mysterious character in the Star Wars universe because they never say what exactly he is like,
or
what kind
where
of
he's really from or anything.
Yeah, my kids are always asking me what type of species is he, and they never tell you. I don't think they've ever revealed.
There's not like a whole planet of little Yodas that they show.
Yeah, in the sequel, there's a chapter where a character, one of the kids, feels the same way you do. He just wants to know about Yoda, and he gets the idea, he'll ask Origami Yoda where Yoda comes from.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
And so you have to see if you get any satisfaction out of that.
So we got a good spoiler now.
You may not be satisfied.
Well, I mean, it's such a delightful concept, so I'm assuming there's a lot of... a lot of your own personality in some of the characters in the book, the middle school. What made you decide to write it with all the different point of views? That's one of the things my kids absolutely love. Each chapter is told by a different character, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I kind of like that part too. The thing is, when it started, you know, the baseball chapter?
Right.
That was it. It was going to be a short, I was going to do just a short story for a short story collection about baseball. And thank goodness, you know, it didn't happen, because otherwise I would have just been throwing the idea away, you know.
Right.
So anyway, I had this one idea for this one story with one kid, and then the other ideas I got weren't with the same kid. And so pretty quickly the whole thing formed where there'd be Tommy trying to keep the whole thing, keep a narrative flow through the whole thing, but all the different kids telling their stories. And one of the great things about that is that we never hear from Dwight.
Exactly.
And that sort of setup sort of makes that all work out, you know. And I don't know if you've ever read The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins, but it has the exact same setup. He was a contemporary of Charles Dickens.
Okay.
And Moonstone is one of the very first detective novels. And it has the same setup. This one narrator who sort of puts the whole thing together, but whenever there's part of the story that he wasn't there for, he just lets somebody else tell that chapter. So it's not wasn't something I made up. That wasn't something I made up either.
Hey, it's the great technique of borrowing that we've all.
Yeah.
One thing that you just hit on too that I really like, that I think a lot of our students will appreciate, is that you learned something from reading the classics.
Yes, you do. But I do warn people. I try to. You know, I love Charles Dickens. I'm crazy for Charles Dickens. I've read all 17 novels. And I try to steer, like, kids away from reading them because I'm afraid they'll try it too early and they'll hate it and then they'll never go back. And I especially try to steer teachers away from assigning hard times. Think
right.
about it. Neither of you do that, do you?
No. I actually don't.
We totally steer away. I mean, no.
We do books like yours.
I'm an English lit. I have to confess, I'm an English lit major, so I have read most of the classics, and I still do when I get time, but I would never, I don't assign them to my students.
Yeah.
We're trying to get them to, I totally agree with you, Tom. We're trying to get our kids to love reading and trying to give them works that are totally accessible. And I agree, if you give them those things too early, they will probably never go back, because it's a totally different writing style, different pace.
Yeah.
It demands a little bit more from the reader, I think. And I think maybe sometimes the payoff is greater, but that's hard to explain and frame for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of the things that you wouldn't even appreciate, even if as a kid, if you understand every word, you wouldn't appreciate, I mean, it's written for adults, and it's adult themes, and a kid just doesn't appreciate all that stuff, and they're bored out of their minds by it. And I just worry about people that have that experience and then they never go back to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to England? Then they have the great what's the name, Cheshire Cheese Pub, where Charles Dickens, I guess, famously used to go all the time. So when I was in England, I went down. I've been a few times, but I always try to go to that pub because it's a really cool pub, and you go down these cavernous depths and these little, you know, have you been there?
No, I've never been there. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you can, yeah, I don't know. I always kind of like the, you know, I always like to think that I'm sitting in the chair that Charles Dickens once sat in, or there's a great pub in Oxford where Tolkien and C.S. Lewis went to all the time to argue and pontificate. And so I love going to those places because I hope I can absorb something from them. But there's so much history. I love that, you know. I wonder if one day, James, people will be going to, we go to a place called the Two Dogs. That's where we go to talk about life and writing.
Our pub.
Wow. Not, it's not our pub, not but, our pub but the pub we go to, yes.
It's our version of Cheers.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I wonder if one day people will go to the Two Dogs. I don't know. Let's try to soak up our nerddom.
Yes.
This is where they spoke with Star Wars.
It's always funny in places like that how, like, a little piece of graffiti from, like, George Washington is, like, revered. We have a place near here where George Washington scratched his name on a wall. And it's, like, revered, you know? Everybody stops and takes pictures of it and stuff. But if you don't get famous, you're like, scum for real.
Yeah.
You
know? Clean that off. Get rid of it.
Do you think George Washington got yelled at when he was actually doing it and somebody saw him?
I bet he did. Probably somebody was like, get down from there. Yeah, it's still there, though. You can still go to see it.
And where? But, it's on a wall or in a pub or?
It's on the wall. It's on a rock wall near here. A place called Natural Bridge.
Okay.
There's a big natural bridge, and, you know, he went over there and vandalized it. what else was he doing? I mean, yeah, that's simply vandalism, you know.
Yeah, good point, actually. Yeah.
So you got, what I'm saying, suggesting is you guys vandalize your pub.
Yeah, we got to vandalize the Two Dogs.
Now people come and rub where you, you know, where you scratch your name.
I like the way you think, Tom.
Yeah. We should ask him our... We have one standard question, so before we forget and run out of time, we have one question we always ask everyone, which is, and I may already have guessed the answer to this, but let's see where it goes. What does not inspire you?
What does not inspire me?
Yeah. Right, because we get asked a lot what inspires us, so we would never inflict anyone with that question, so we would want to know the opposite.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, TV does not inspire me. TV may even give you ideas, but the TV just keeps on going, so you don't have time to act on the ideas, you know? I mean, you're at like 9:30, you have this great idea, but you can't go and do anything because another show's coming on at 10 o'clock, you know? So you just keep watching and watching and watching. We gave up, we unplugged our cable a while back, and I think that's had a lot to do with me getting these books done. Because, I mean, you know, you plug yourself into that TV and you can't get the writing done anymore. And I find that I've got these little windows where my brain's on fire and I've got to go to the computer right then and start typing. Are you guys laughing because you're both TV junkies?
You know, no, I'm laughing because James's dog just stepped on my laptop and turned on the Star Wars music. I have no idea how he did that.
I have my dog trained very well.
Like, I don't know how he specifically turned on the theme to Star Wars.
No. Wow, that's incredible.
But yeah, actually, Tom, that's interesting that you say that because in September, I gave up my satellite.
James.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to
Authors Life.